You're listening to Inland Edition on 91.9 KVCR. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest is Mary Chris Akon. She's the Deputy Director of the Federal Programs at the Department of Development Services. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
So we're going to talk about several things. DDS provides many services, but what we're going to focus on today is Early Start. Please share what Early Start is and how it serves our community or our children.
Sure. So Early Start is the name of the program that provides early intervention services to babies and toddlers up to 3 years who are at risk of developmental delays or disabilities. The services are free, they're available in multiple languages, and they're focused on the child and his or her family.
If someone has a young baby and maybe not familiar that Early Start exists, how does one find out about the services? Where do they go? Who do they turn to?
There is one phone line that we ask anyone who is concerned about the development of their baby, you know, or toddler to call. That's 1-800-515-BABY or 2229. That is the statewide phone line that will connect you to free local resources near you.
Okay, so that's one way to get it started. My guess is also that maybe the pediatrician might tell parents. How would parents know? Is it something like a gut instinct that a mom or dad might just know that their child isn't developing or hitting those milestones? Where does the parent get the idea that something needs to be done or they need to reach out for assistance?
That is an excellent question, because the typical referrals would come from your pediatrician. You know,
okay.
You take your baby to a wellness checkup, and then the pediatrician helps you track their progress against developmental milestones. And then if there's an area of concern, they can refer you to local services such as regional centers who coordinate this early intervention services. But the truth is that you can self-refer. And this is where we really encourage our families, you know, parents, I mean, anywhere in your, maybe in your smartphone or in your computer, look up developmental milestones for children 0 to 3. And then if you have any concern, you know, just by looking at those, you know, is there anything that your child seems to not be meeting, you can call that number. You can self-refer. Anyone can self-refer. And just, you know, just reach out and say, I have concerns about my child. I feel like he or she is behind on milestones. What can I do? That's starts the process.
Let's just think about maybe for a new mom or a new parent, what are some of those milestones we are hoping our little ones hit or that should give us question or pause when they're not hitting those particular things? Can you give me some examples of what those might be?
So for example, things like at 6 months, your child should be bringing things to their mouth. At a certain age, they should start looking at you, you know, that eye contact. At 18 months, they should start pointing to you, you know, pointing to something, trying to get your attention. Or I think at 4 months is when they start making sounds. So those little things tell you clues about how your child is developing.
The services are available from birth to 36 months, as you said, till they're 3 years old. And some of the things that they might be concerned with, such as cognitive and communication, social or emotional, share some of those ideas that we should be looking for. I know you kind of just said a couple of the milestones when you're on that growth chart of things we should be doing, but can we talk a little deeper of what we're really looking for? I mean, when it's seen, you can tell if someone isn't able to see very well, you know, if they're not having good coordination or walking into things. What other things could we be seeing that might trigger a parent to say, okay, this isn't right, something's wrong here or different, we need to look into this?
That's a good question. And actually, one of the things that we have on our website is the CDC milestone tracker. Mm. So like I said, there's like 5 areas of development. You know, it's sometimes physical is easy to spot, like, you know, how they're moving, seeing or hearing. But in terms of like cognitive development, how are they developing the ability to think and learn?
Mm-hmm.
As far as language and speech development, how is your baby or toddler developing the ability to understand, to talk, to self-express? And then when it comes to social and emotional, are they able to relate to others? And then there's also the adaptive development. Are they developing the ability to eat, to dress, or care for themselves, or self-help? Those little things, I mean, sometimes it's just that gut reaction. that, you know, something may be off. And fortunately, you know, before the pandemic, you can easily see those when your kid or your child is playing with another child of the same age, you know, and then you say, seems like that child, same age, is doing those things, but my baby is not doing those things. I wonder why. And it's that curiosity that sparks the questioning, you know, like, are there milestones that my baby are not hitting?
And do you think that parents ever, maybe they see something, but they might go a little bit into denial that, oh, he's just a little slower, he's just this, he's the baby, he's a boy, they develop slower. Do you think that that exists where parents might make, I don't know, maybe excuses or just not really see what really is going on?
I agree. I'm actually a parent myself, and we use the program. It's true because, you know, we hear different things such as, you know, well, boys talk late. Well, lo and behold, I actually found out later, they don't talk much later than girls. And you raise a good point there because babies do develop at different rates.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't be so vastly different from the others. And so I will tell you based on my experience, I think once or twice I did give pause and say, something may be off. And then we brought it up to our pediatrician and we were told that same thing, boys talk late, but we didn't stop there. We just knew something is not right. He is not connecting with us. And it is not an easy fact to embrace.
Right.
At least as a parent, based on personal experience, I will be honest, when we actually figured out what supports he needed, it was a very emotional experience. But, you know, my husband and I had to think about, this is not about me or my husband. This is about our child. And this is, you know, one out of six children in the U.S. experience developmental delays. This is not isolated to just our family, and it's just normal part of growing up. And so it's something that I hope your listeners can understand. It's not about the parents. Developmental delay is a thing. The more you seek out support and understanding, the easier it is for your family to understand, okay, this is normal, this is nothing bad. There are supports to like address these challenges in kids who are 0 to 3 who may be developing a little delayed than expected.
Okay, so you see something might be a little off, not quite the same as the others. They can call the 800-515-BABY line if they have concerns. Parents can also reach out to, would it be their school district, or how would they know about the regional centers?
Sure. So the regional centers are, there are 21, you know, up and down the state. So that's why we give that phone number, because I will tell you, based on my experience, I did not know baby line. I did not know early start. So I went to my doctor who referred me to, for me to contact the school down the street from where we live. I was told, you know, my son was too young. We don't yet support kids who are under 3. Called the county office of education, and I called them and they said, oh, we are oversubscribed. But if you call the regional center, anyway, eventually we made it to the regional center. So the easiest way I would suggest is that please call that one phone line, 1-800-515-BABY, because they will connect you to the local regional center in your area. That's the fastest way.
It's my understanding that the regional center is kind of not in charge of that child's growth until the baby hits 3. So is early start taken from 0 to 3 and then regional center takes them from there? Or how does that system work?
That's a good clarification, because regional centers are responsible for services to children 0 to 3. So
okay.
In California, the Department of Developmental Services is the lead agency implementing Part C services. I mean, you raise a good point. So early intervention is actually mandated in federal law. It's part of that IDEA. Part C handles early intervention services. So our department is the lead agency, and we contract with regional centers.
Okay.
The 21 regional centers coordinate the services for 0 to 36 months. And then after the child turns 3, that's when you can be transitioned to the school services.
Okay.
Because that's Part B of IDEA.
So the regional center has the child or is working with the child from 0 to 3. At 3 or 36 months, the school district takes over at that point, in essence.
Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. This is Inland Edition. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and we're speaking with Maricris Acorn, the Deputy Director of the Federal Programs Division at the California Department of Developmental Services. When we come back, we'll find out about some of the services Early Start provides for families dealing with developmental challenges. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inland Edition. I'm Lillian Vasquez, and we're talking to Maricris Acorn, the Deputy Director of the Federal Programs Division at California DDS. Our conversation today is about their programs, which aims to help families help their children overcome developmental challenges. That program is Early Start. Let's talk about some of the services that Early Start does provide. What does it look like? What are they specifically?
So the services vary. Of course, they have to be responsive to the child's needs, but they include speech and language services. They can include assistive technology or sign language in that context. They can be medical, vision, psychological, and nursing services. There's also nutrition services, physical and occupational therapy. And then there's case management, social work, and service coordination. Like we talked about earlier, when you get assigned a service coordinator, that coordinator at the regional center will help you get your services set up. They will coordinate with the school district when your child turns three so they can transition there to see if they're qualified for special education services.
Okay, and not to be a naysayer here, but if your baby is 12 months and you are trying to get services for that child, how long would it typically take? Does it happen in 2 weeks, 3 months, 6 months? What does it take and how long is that process to get that child some services? I mean, because I think the idea is you're trying to catch that child up to be at typical standards, right? There's a delay. So you're trying very early as this early intervention to bring that child up to snuff so that when they start kindergarten or whatever, they are caught up with their peers. So how long does that period take to get those services?
That's a good question, because it's actually mandated in federal law that within 45 days, your regional center, between the time you call and the referral is made, by the 45th day, you, the family, and your regional center service coordinator have to develop an individualized family services plan. So it's 45 days. And within that time period, you would have had your intake, you know, your intake with your service coordinator. You would have scheduled and completed evaluations and assessments of the child. Again, you will schedule the meeting, because time is of the essence. You're so right. There's a reason why it's early intervention, so right. 45 days.
Now, I know that you offer services to families as well. What type of services are you offering to the families, not just the child?
Sure. So the program itself, if I may say, operates on a family-based approach. So families receive training and counseling, you know, home visits. It can even include transportation and related costs to go to services outside the home. And an important part of Early Start is the network of family resource centers. So through that case management and service coordination, the regional center service coordinator will refer you to your local family resource center. And that center provides, you know, parent-to-parent contact. They will give you information about disabilities and early intervention, assistance in accessing services. And frankly, in my personal experience, they really provided a lifeline, because after we understood what supports my child needed, I was able to meet other families, you know, that are going through the same experience as we are. And we found our tribe. But that's just one of the many things that the program do to support the families.
Okay. Let me take this time right now to reintroduce our guest is Maricris Acorn. She's the Deputy Director of the Federal Programs at the Department of Development Services. During COVID, how was all this? I mean, we're not out of the woods with COVID. We are seeing this surge again. How are these young babies getting services during the COVID period?
So that's a good question, because one of the things that understandably so we're hearing is that some families have, of course, hesitancy in letting, you know, strangers go to their house. So at this time, you can actually have early intervention services as a combination. It can be in person, you know, the speech therapist or the occupational therapist can come to your home. And then on some occasions, it can be done online, you know, virtually, because it's really family coaching. So it's not that the child 0 to 36 have to like stare in the screen over Zoom. The specialties can be doing this, coaching the family, you know, they can help you connect with your child. So because of COVID and some of the restrictions that we face, our providers have figured out a way to still be able to support our children and the families remotely.
I would imagine that any kind of therapy or intervention that's going on looks very different online than it would in person. And as you described, the child wouldn't necessarily be online. But when the person is going into the home and providing the services, they're getting down on the ground with that child, I would think, a little more involved than you could possibly do on Zoom. Am I right? Or is Zoom just working perfectly?
Well, that is a question that I would really best refer to the families. I mean, like I said, it's all based on how the family's comfort level. And, you know, they can always ask for in-person visits, you know, and combine it with remote visits via Zoom. Whatever is more convenient for them, the focus is to get services to the children and to the family. But I do understand what you're saying, because there are some things that you kind of just have to, like, show mom or dad or the caregiver, like, this is how we would engage your baby. You know, you have to be in front of them, looking them in the eye, and then, you know, be in their line of vision.
Right.
So it's all individual.
And I could see how making sure the caregiver, the parent, the mom, the dad, who's ever around. And so it becomes a generalization. Everybody's doing the same thing, so it becomes familiar to that child. If he sees it from the mom, the dad, the aunt, the whoever is involved in that child's world, it becomes more generalized. But it just seems really hard that COVID has really put a damper on some of that in-person, one-to-one, on the floor with the child. But we can only do what we can do, and COVID has presented some of those tougher scenarios for sure. I want to ask, if you have health insurance, are you still entitled to these services, or do you have to use your health insurance? Can you use both? Can you use the state? How does that work?
So we have to exhaust all generic resources first. So that will include your private insurance. If the family has private insurance, they will have to use that first. But I would caveat that because the services have to be provided without delay, if the family is experiencing delay accessing their insurance, there are ways that the regional center can fund the service so that, you know, intervention can begin right away.
So regional centers tend to be the last payee, meaning you have to try all the other resources first, and then you go to them. But what I just heard you say is those tend to take time, and then you sometimes have to fight the insurance, and then you get a, you know, waiver or this or that. And what I heard you say is that going through this service, Early Start, can start sooner rather than maybe all the delays that insurances might put up. Is that correct?
That is correct. And actually, there's also differences between what service you can get through your insurance and what services the program provides. Because in Early Start, you can get a comprehensive evaluation in the five areas of development at no cost, which health plans don't do. You know, we talked about those five areas of development earlier. You know, your child will get assessed for cognitive, physical, motor development, communication, social, emotional, and adaptive development. And then this is a program that is family focused. So the services are provided in your home. There's coaching for the parents. So even after you compare the services from your insurance and from the program, there are differences. So it's just best not to wait.
Got it.
See what services you can get through the program.
Right. Okay. And to get that assessment, that's again calling that 800-515-BABY number, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And what we do is we patch it through your local regional center.
Okay. So I have a question. Your background was in finance. How did you end up in a program doing this for the state if that was your background? How did this become your job or your passion?
That is a good point. So I spent a good chunk of my career with the state service, state budgets and whatnot. But like I said, after my son was diagnosed and we had an understanding of the type of supports that he needs and the type of journey that we are in, this is how I found my passion. I applied with the Department of Developmental Services, and I just knew this is where I have to be because the mission resonates with me, and we're here to, like, support the families. And this program is so crucial because, you know, getting services as early as possible really changes the trajectory of your child.
Right. We're hoping for better outcomes the earlier we can start that intervention. In our last minute together, what is your greatest takeaway? What do you want the community to know, our listeners to know about Early Start?
If I could convince one hopefully more parents or more caregivers who have a concern about their child's development, their baby or toddler's development, to like just call that number and seek that support now. Even if you're just concerned, just like just pick up the phone and ask questions, to me it will already be a win. Because time is of the essence. Kids, our babies grow so fast, between 0 to 36. You can get the sense of whether they're meeting their milestones or not meeting their milestones, and they need services right away. So I'm hoping that's one thing I can leave your listeners with. If you just have any concern at all, please reach out. These are free services. They're provided locally. It's available to anyone. If you are wondering if it's available, if you're not a citizen, if you don't have health insurance, if you have issues with transportation and you can't get to the clinic, if you don't speak English, those should not be barriers. Just call and the family can use the program. Services will be integrated in your child's routine where your child is most comfortable, and they can be combined, you know, in person or online, whatever works, but we just need to get services to our kiddos.
So the bottom line here, if you feel like something's different, act upon it and call the number 800-515-BABY.
Yes.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Maricris Acorn is the Deputy Director of the Federal Programs Division at the California Department of Developmental Services. For more on Early Start programs and other services from California DDS, visit dds.ca.gov. Once again, that's dds.ca.gov. We'll include that web address and a link when we post the show on our program page. Join us next week for another episode of Inland Edition, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. and 6:30, right here on 91.9 KVCR. To hear this episode and past shows, visit our website at kvcrnews.org/Inland Edition. You can also listen to Inland Edition on iTunes, Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Search for Inland Edition on your favorite streaming service. Inland Edition is a production of KVCR News. Support for this production, including writing and editing, comes from Sharina Wad, Rick Dulock, and David Fleming. And we get technical website and social media support from Tim Seidel and Sean Houlihan. I'm your host, Lillian Vasquez. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.